The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome to Devils in the Dark with me, Helen Anderson.
And me, Danny Howard.
We're two best friends entering the world of true crime.
We'll be sharing the stories of some of the worst and wildest true crime cases in history, and we're taking you along for the ride.
In this episode, we're looking at the murders of Nanny Doss, or the Giggling Granny.
But first, we have a confession to make. Something terrible happened.
I'm so sorry. We were so distracted when we got here. And to be fair, this is the first time it's ever happened in three seasons. But basically, the laptop wasn't properly plugged into the audio interface. I also didn't do a line check because it normally automatically updates
it. And we do it every time.
And we do it every time and it's normally fine. So basically, today's episode is going to be through the laptop microphone. So
it sounds bad.
It sounds
like I'm in a tin can in the corridor.
Well, I sound okay.
Helen sounds great.
Danny's in the background though, just doing her thing. So apologies. We will not be offended if you can't stand it. It's not terrible.
It's like, it could be worse. And I must say, I'm sat quite far away from the laptop. Helen's in front of it, but I'm sat a decent distance away with my own laptop, which wasn't recording anything. So yeah, I'm quite impressed that it picked up as much of me as it did, because I am prone to mumbling.
Yes,
that's the Moira Rays. Yes, that makes sense. Right. Yeah, don't mumble, David. Well, you are prone to mumbling. We mustn't mumble. I do. But, you know, this is part of the journey. We've been producing ourselves for the first time. And, like, producer Alex would never have let this happen. But we don't have her. And I think I genuinely feel like we've done so well to get this far without any major fuck-ups. And
well,
so
here we go. But, you know, you can...
It's a lol, isn't it? It's a giggle.
To be fair, like, so when people start their podcasts, their audio is always dog shit. So we've got just dog shit audio from later.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. We've just kept you on tenterhooks for shit audio.
Yeah, all right. We're just mixing things up. Anyway,
the content is great though.
Yeah, we don't want to. We were like, there's no point in re-recording it because it's all about reaction, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the whole fucking point is just lost then.
It won't be the same if we re-record
it. No,
it
definitely would not.
So
we're just gonna put it in now. We hope you enjoy it.
And sorry
once again, but yes. You know, it's what it is. What you gonna do about it?
When I saw the giggling granny, I don't know why this was the first thing that came to my head, but you know, in one of the most recent Toy Stories, there's that monkey with the symbols. You know them clapping monkeys with the big teeth. Yeah. That just came into my head
because that's
like grinning and like giggling and like like circus style, almost a bit American Horror Story, like the giggling.
Yeah.
Like, oh God.
I just have in my head, like, it sounds like the giggling granny sounds like something out of like Goosebumps.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that it's going to be worse
It's actually not too bad. Like, we'll get into it, but it's not as bad as you think.
It doesn't take much for me, though.
No.
Do you remember Goosebumps?
Yeah, of course I do.
Everyone at school was always like, oh, yeah, like this one, what was it? Escape to Horrorland. Escape from Horrorland. Why would you escape to somewhere? And I had that computer game, Escape from Horrorland. Couldn't finish it because, it was difficult, but, B, it was a bit scary. And then I remember there was a Give Yourself Goosebumps book.
What?
I used to love those. You know when it's like, to turn right, go to page
42. Oh, cool!
To go through the trap door, go to page 68, and then you'd get to like page 68 and be like, you go through the trap door, and then there's a monster, and it kills you, and you're dead. Go back to the beginning.
You know what? Like, those things like blow my mind that someone was able to write that and like figure the logistics of it.
The
like,
logistics of it. Makes, it
how'd you write this?
It genuinely makes me feel sick. Like, yeah. Having to think about it and be like, okay, well, I went there, oh god.
Yeah,
but and it was so stupid because this one, it was like something to do with a house, and then it was near a cemetery, and it was something on like the gravestones were moving around or something like that. But I kept dying in the book, and I didn't just give myself goosebumps, I gave myself fucking nightmares for ages. Oh, and I had to stop reading it.
I remember watching an episode of Goosebumps and running out of the living room crying, and I remember it because my mum was on the phone in the hallway, probably before mobiles, you had to stand by the phone.
I
was like pulling on the telephone cord like because my sisters were watching Goosebumps and I was too small and innocent to watch it, but it fucking terrified me. And I just remember running out.
Do you remember that game? This is going way back. So I did have this conversation, I think it was with my brother and my sister the other day, where you know when people are like talk about getting off the phone so that they could use the internet, like, we're not joking.
Oh yeah,
like, that was actually a thing.
Yeah.
And like, was it? Why? And I'm like, because the phone line, the internet came through the phone line.
Yeah.
And they were like, what? I'm like, oh, you guys are young.
Hang on, wait. Before you continue, for any of those that have forgotten what it sounds like, this is going to give you a blast of the past. And now I'm on MSN.
Yeah. And it would be like, if that didn't, it went on for too long, you'd be like, oh fuck, gotta start again.
Like,
reboot the modem, blah, blah, blah.
Right, yeah. shall we crack on? It is 1953 in Oklahoma, USA. A man named Samuel Doss is repeatedly complaining of being unwell, terrible upset stomach and cramps, seeking help from his doctor, who can't seem to work out the problem, and he's spending quite a lot of time in hospital.
Okay.
When he finally recovers, he returns home to his loving wife, that fixes him up some stewed prunes and a cup of coffee. The next day, he's dead. With his doctor extremely concerned with this turn of events, an autopsy is ordered. Enough arsenic to kill 10 people is found in his system, and all heads turn to his wife.
Oh my God!
Her prunes, and about to be discovered, her chilling past.
Oh.
Her name is Nanny Doss. So let's go back to the beginning.
Oh my God. So is her name actually Nanny?
That's her nickname.
Okay.
So you're about to find out that she was born Nancy Hazel on the 4th of November 1904 in Blue Mountains, Alabama, which is now part of Anniston. We're going to call her Nanny because that's what everyone calls her. I found it quite confusing because at first I would call my grandparents Nanny.
Nanny, yeah.
Nanny. And what was quite interesting is when I lived up in Yorkshire, which I spent most of my younger childhood, people just thought I was dead posh when I talk about my nanny because they thought I had a nanny.
Really?
You got a nanny? I went, no, my nan. Oh, my grandma. Like, my nanny's coming to visit, or I'm going to see my nanny, and they thought I was dead posh because I had a nanny. No one in Yorkshire calls it, well, where I lived in Yorkshire, called it nanny, as in your grandma.
Because I'd never really heard nanny until we moved here.
I think it might be a Norfolk thing. Well, this sort of.
Yeah, I don't know, like a, yeah.
Nanny Maureen and Nanny Pat, I heard.
Because Nan, I've heard Nan.
Yeah.
Nanny.
Nanny.
Yeah, I don't
know. Nanny. The A's got to go, yeah. But anyway, nanny, right. So she was one of five. She had four siblings, a brother and three sisters. And her father was abusive, and both Nanny and her mother hated him. So he would work them really, really hard on the farm, to the point where he actually took Nanny out of school so she could work, which severely impacted her academia. So she basically had no education. So the only thing that she was kind of qualified to do was work on a farm and work in a household, like very domestic. Aww. Domesticated. She didn't really have, you know,
I guess if this was early 18th century, like, there wasn't really much else for women to aspire to either.
No.
Was there? Like, there wasn't really much opportunity for even educated, like, basically educated women.
Yeah, exactly.
To go any further than the home.
Yeah. The next thing that happened in her life, which was quite significant, was at the age of 9, the family took a train to go visit relatives, and the train had an abrupt stop. I think there was animals on the train tracks, and it just halted the brakes. She went flying, and she smacked her head on a pole. Well, some sources say it was a metal pole, some say it was a buggy, but she smacked her head, and that basically impacted her for the rest of her life. So that would cause terrible headaches, migraines. It was even said that it caused her to have depression. So also, because of this head injury, her future self would blame some of her behaviour on this injury.
Oh, okay.
It did have a lasting effect on her, though, like the impact of this pole on wherever it was from this train accident. So, but that's quite significant in the story, I suppose.
That's one of those things, right? You know, and we always talk about this. That's like the flap of the butterfly wing, isn't it? Like that one thing, something had to go on. If that train had been 2 minutes late, or like, you know, a few minutes early, or whatever it was that was caused the train to stop, happened like a minute later,
or the cattle was 5 minutes later crossing the, like, train tracks,
then she wouldn't have bumped her head, and like this wouldn't have happened, like, you know, sliding doors, like whoa.
Yeah, but
all of these stars had to align for that to happen.
I don't know whether the impact would have caused enough damage for her to behave the way that she did, but we shall see. What do you know? Yeah, what, from her actions, we can come back to this and see what you think.
Yeah, okay.
So, a little later into her childhood, Nanny really, this made me laugh thinking of you, got into her mum's romance novels.
Okay.
And I was just thinking, I wonder if they were anything like your ones.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, God. No, it's okay, because mine are all on Kindle now, so there's no danger of Sylvie.
Like, yeah.
Pulling these books out.
But she was really into, like, the notion of romance and living happily ever after. So, and she, you know, she'd daydream about her future, and she, you know, she had big ideas about romance and love and that kind of thing. She was just a bit soft, and she just loved the idea of it. She also particularly liked to look at the Lonely Hearts column. And I had to just, I did a little Google. And I was just looking at some examples of Lonely Hearts column things, especially like older ones, because I just wanted to see what people would write. And this one particularly stood out to me. I just thought it was quite funny. Ready?
Yeah.
Matrimonial advertisement. The following curious matrimonial advertisement appeared the other day in a French provincial journal. A young girl, 17 years of age, who knows how to make good soup, desires to marry someone, no matter who, and will not even object to a person with a broken leg.
I make good soup and I wish to be married.
I don't even care if you have a broken leg.
No broken arms.
No.
One broken leg is acceptable. How dry are your hands? Because I keep hearing you. Like,
are they really bad? Can't help it. I'm just a bit itchy today.
I can hear you rubbing your face.
Sorry. I'm a bit...
sandpaper hands?
God, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm fidgeting a lot today.
Are you okay?
I think I'm fine. God, now I'm going to sit on my hands. Okay.
No, it's just like, how dry are they?
They are pretty dry.
Enough noise for me to hear it.
They were really dry the other day. I need to get some lather myself.
I'm very surprised. So Helen is really big on, like, skin.
Oh, no.
Like, and so if I'm, if I ever am going to meet Helen, I always make sure I've got my SPF on.
Because I can see it, like, on your skin.
Sniff it out.
Yeah.
Your skin barrier is not protected. But for you to dry,
go back.
So for you to have dry hands.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I tell you what, also, I've noticed, I know it's tangent, but I've got a few spots on my chest here, and that's my hypochondriac. I'm like,
You've been tanning dying. That recently.
I tan all the time.
Yeah, there you
I don't know. A lot of these Lonely Hearts column things are quite short and punchy.
Yeah, because you had to pay per letter.
Right. So, if you had to be in a Lonely Hearts column, what would you write?
Okay. What's my situation?
Oh, you're just single.
Me, now?
Yeah.
Is Baker dead?
This is your imaginary Lonely Hearts column, so you can say whatever you want.
Well, I'd have GSOH immediately.
What does that mean?
Good sense of humour.
Oh, is that what it means?
Yeah.
Ah.
There's all kinds of abbreviations, but that's the only one that really stuck in my brain.
Okay.
Female, 30s, GSOH, seeks anyone, no broken leg. Anyone with penis.
Desperate. No. Must have pulse.
Preferably with two eyes. I only say that because, and I'm not discriminating, but one time a guy with one eye hit on me. He'd come into the shop I worked with.
Yeah.
I worked in, he'd come in regularly to talk to me.
Mm.
And it was so sweet, but he just was all like, it was really uncomfortable. Like, he didn't do it in like a nice way.
Oh dear.
And so now I just, I can't, I can only associate like one eye with him.
Like, that's pretty prejudiced, you know.
I know, I absolutely know it is, and I know it's awful. And I'm not saying that any, like, you know, but it's just, that is tied to, that memory is tied to him now, and he had.
You need to have some positive one-eye experiences.
Yeah, he had a particular smell.
Okay.
Like, he had a particular, like, and it just, and it, I, you know what? When it first started, I was like, oh, he's a nice guy, and then it got weird.
Okay.
Yeah, and like to the point where like people would text me from work and be like, oh, he came in asking for you today.
Oh, okay.
And then
yeah.
So it would get to the point where like I, you know, oh, he's come over the radio, like he's here, and I'd get to go and hide in like a.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. That is a bit
odd, isn't it? Oh, so nice, but it's just such a shame because, like, genuinely, until it got a bit weird, it was nice to chat to him.
Yeah. Then it became a bit much.
Yeah.
What? Oh, do you want me to read my bio? I'll read you my bio and my dating
actually,
profile.
Technically, yeah, you've got a Tinder profile.
Well, Bumble, yeah, ready?
So you've. This is your. Yeah, but you don't have, like, a. I feel like if it was in a paper, you can't go into as much detail.
No, but I would just pay the extra because, ready?
So Helen's got half a page. She's got half a page in the paper.
Yeah, I've got a full spread, with a picture as well.
With an artist's drawing.
Yeah. Okay, mine says online creative and entrepreneurial plate spinner.
Oof.
Musician and podcaster, mother of two sausage dogs, loves good food, the outdoors, a tasty pint, road trips, live music, drawing, movies and Ron Swanson. Passionate with a zest for life. And then I've put rock hands.
I like that, but I think that's quite intimidating.
Is it? Good.
Well, you sound like a powerhouse because you
good.
Are a powerhouse.
Well, I know. I'm just putting it straight out there. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm like, and that's an impressive woman. Damn.
And then it says, I quote too much from, because it gives you prompts. I quote too much from King Curtis. And I'm known for having tiny hands, big heart. And then what makes a relationship great is great communication, physical chemistry, lots of fun, laughter and understanding.
Oh, I like that. That's very honest. I also like that there's no, you know, what makes a great relationship great? Me.
Yeah.
You know, or like the bullshit answers. Like
the bullshit where they're trying to be funny and I just find... Or some I've noticed that on some, especially with London boys, no offence, some of them are so nonchalant. I'm like, why are you even here? Like, they just put zero effort and they just think that being kind of funny and, like, not give a fucky is going to get them somewhere. But I'm like, don't bother.
Do those boys just want to get their dick wet, though?
I don't know. I don't know. And oh, so, don't ever say that. I hate that term. Ah!
It's gross because it's gross.
Before we go any further, we need to talk to you about the sponsor of today's episode, BetterHelp.
Yes, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Now, you might think that you need to have a specific problem or crisis before you give therapy a try, but that couldn't be further from the truth.
That's right. Therapy is for anybody at any time in your life that feels right. Sometimes you're faced with some tough choices when thinking about your career, relationships, or just general life stuff. Therapy can help you figure out what you really want while you navigate life so you can move forward feeling confident and excited about the path ahead.
I know that for me, therapy, like particularly when I had Sylvie, just like, or when I was pregnant with Sylvie, just working out, like, as you can hear,
we have the baby with us.
Hello, Sylvie. So I know that for me, like when I was pregnant with Sylvie, it was really anxiety inducing. Like my life was about to change massively and I had no idea like what to expect. And just being able to sort of talk, have a sounding board almost about like just talking through what I'm afraid of, what might happen, what the best case scenario is and why I shouldn't be afraid of that was really helpful for me. And I think I'll always be really grateful for that.
Therapy's always helped me also navigate like life choices, especially when it comes to like career or like how to, like what the next steps are, kind of helps me figure out and talk through my anxieties about it and my worries and just have a different perspective or someone else, like, yeah, someone on not involved in your life giving you a bit of perspective, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's nice, isn't it, to have that sort of extra voice to just be like, do you know what? Your worries are rational, like it's natural to be like concerned about this, and just give you that space to be like, okay, what am I actually worried about? What am I actually scared of in
this
situation?
And where is it coming from? And then just figuring those things out and ironing out those things. So and then, definitely.
Yeah, and you can just be like, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
And that's so lovely to get to that point of, this is a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't say it's happened to me that often. So if you're thinking you might be ready to give therapy a try, BetterHelp can match you with a licensed therapist within days. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched, and switching therapists is free and really easy if you need to do so.
And the best part is that because it's online only, you can make therapy fit into your life whenever you like and wherever you like. So it's accessible and stress-free as you need it to be.
Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/DITD to get 10% off your first month.
That's betterhelp.com/DITD. Right, let's get back to Nanny.
Lonely Hearts columns.
Mm-hmm.
I could read those for days.
Yeah, they're adorable.
But I think at the time, because also let's think about it, early 20th century.
Yeah.
When you're like, what, 22, 23 and unmarried? You're in spinster territory, aren't you? I love the word spinster. I just think it's, I think it sounds great. Because I always think of Lizzie Bennet from Pride and Prejudice. She's a spinster.
Okay.
But she's also one of my favourite characters ever.
Right.
So, like, you have to really, you don't just put a Lonely Hearts column out there, you know. It's serious. Serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing that people will do. It's the only thing that people will do, apart from being, like, set up.
Yeah, I suppose.
Can't be set up. Well, there's no potential suitors in your immediate realm.
Well, there's also no, like, speed dating or no, like, singles clubs.
Yeah, and it's not like she's going to work to find...
Yeah.
You're not going to go to, like, if you don't have a job. It's all very, like, secular, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
If there's nobody in your village, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
You're going to be a spinster. Unless you
and the whole thing seems like a transaction. Like, you apply to their ad... and you write a couple of letters and then you meet and then it's like, okay, that we are now dating. Like, we're it just seems...
The intended. Yeah. You are my intended.
Yeah, because it's effort. You have to go to the lengths of writing and all that. You know, it takes time.
It does sound romantic.
It does. But she loved it. But anyway, right.
There's such potential for, like, a good romance trope in a Lonely Hearts column.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm sure there is many stories, successful stories. But, right, okay. Back to the story. So she was quite young when she got into like reading all of these and like the novels. But her dad would stop them from wearing makeup and fancy clothes and going to dances, as apparently it reduced the risks of them getting molested. But it also stopped her from meeting people. But she was desperate for romance. I think that's why she took fancy to these columns. She did, however, start working in a linen factory, where she met her first husband, Charlie Braggs. She was only 16 years old. Charlie Braggs. And they got married after dating for only 4 months.
Romance.
I know. She said, I married as my father wished in 1921 to a boy I only knew about 4 or 5 months, who had no family, only a mother who was unwed and who had taken over my life completely when we were married. She'd never seen anything wrong with what she'd done, but she would take spells she would not let my own mother stay all night. So she had a very, very controlling mother-in-law. So she was the kind of person that if Nanny wanted to go out, she'd go, I'm sick. And like, she wouldn't be able to go out. Ugh. So she was always there, always watching.
Okay.
Right? She was pretty much.
Oh, and she's only 16. So we're like, you know, she's
Exactly. Like, she's a bit much. So, but whilst this was happening, Nanny and Charlie Boy had four daughters from 1923 to 1927. So that is like back to back.
Bloody
hell. That's like one a year.
Four under four.
She's either pregnant or she's given birth, basically.
I cannot even imagine having that many small children.
Exactly. So this took a toll on Nanny, as it would. Well, being pregnant, giving birth, and then adding another child to care for to the mix each time, and having a mother-in-law. So you've had a baby, then you've got to have another one, you've got to look after the previous baby, you know what I mean? So they're all infants that require a lot of attention, and so...
It's so hard just looking after one, and like right now, you know, Sylvie's 6 months, and I'm like, I can't even imagine being pregnant right now and having to chase after, like, she doesn't even move yet.
No.
But she will do soon.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she'll be so sleep-deprived.
Yeah.
She'll be at the end of her tether.
And she's got a really annoying mother-in-law.
Yeah. Who's so probably telling her she's doing it all wrong.
Exactly, it? Probably. So Nanny took up to smoking and drinking quite a bit. Right? She's stressing. And Charlie got fed up too with the whole situation. So he would leave for days and weeks at a time. But in 1927, the couple lost their second and third daughters to suspected food poisoning.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
And feeling a little wary and suspicious about it, Charlie left with the eldest daughter and they got a divorce.
What about the youngest daughter?
So Charlie's mum died soon after. And Nanny took a job in a cotton mill to support herself and the firstborn, or the newborn, sorry, her newborn, Florine. So she kept their newest baby. He took the oldest baby. So she took a job to support them both. So Charlie did, however, return with the eldest daughter. So it was then Melvina, Florine and Nanny. So he came back.
They're lovely names.
I know, they did have really good names, to be fair. So he's dropped off Melvina back at home, gone off again. So Nanny's now got her firstborn and her lastborn to look after. So she's working and caring for the children, but her heart is lonely again. So Nanny puts an ad in the Lonely Hearts column and met Robert Franklin Harrelson. And he sent her romantic poetry. She sent him a cake.
Okay.
But she was also known for sending naughty photos and letters. So I'm not sure how it worked back then.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
How did they... it's not like they had cameras just there for people's... Like, so how do you take a racy photo and send it?
Yeah, but in those days, is a racy photo like she lifted her skirt to her knee?
Like, there's my ankle. Like, yeah.
Or is it...
My wrist.
Or is it tits in the wind?
Like, I don't know. What is it? Here's my pasta.
A boudoir shoot, but it's like, set it all up. Okay, I'll push the thing, run back, do the pose.
It goes,
stay still for 10 minutes.
though it does its thing.
Okay.
That's interesting, that, so.
Yeah. But, someone take them for her?
I don't know.
I don't feel like photography was something that you could do yourself.
Well, also because, you know, that kind of stuff was sort of, back then. Who on earth would agree to take the racy pictures? Like a photographer? That would be a lot of effort. Oh, how do they do that?
Maybe she just like drew some...
Here are my boobs. Drawing her... This is a picture of what my boobs look like.
Please reply soon. Daddy, 3 days later.
Just... Nice tits.
just a tits.
This is what my penis looks like.
But you know how everybody draws the dick with like a few hairs on the ball, a couple of bits of cheese.
I want you here. Wish you were here.
I really hope that's what it was like.
Me too. Lol. So they met and married in 1929 when she was 24, and they lived together in Jacksonville with Nanny's two daughters. After a few months, she discovered that he was an alcoholic and he had a criminal record for assault.
Oh no.
Despite this, they stayed together for now. So, starts to get just a bit fucking wild now. So let's fast forward to 1943. Nanny's eldest daughter, Melvina, gave birth to a little boy, Robert Lee Hayes, his name was. Haynes? It was quite painful labour, and Melvina needed the support from her mother, so Nanny goes and stays with her to help out. However, the newborn baby died. Melvina thought she saw Nanny stick a hat pin into the baby's head. The doctors, however, could not give a positive explanation. However, when Melvina, who at the time of the baby's death was really exhausted and didn't know if she was seeing things, or like, you know, she'd made it up, like she didn't know if she'd had seen that happen. But when she asked her husband and sister if she was being delirious and for their input, they actually confirmed that they too had seen Nanny holding a hat pin.
What so, the fuck?
Yeah, so...
Oh my God.
Yeah. Who right. does that?
So, one thing I learned, like, in the first few days of being a mum, is that your brain goes fucking wild.
Your brain?
Yeah. And, like, so I had Sylvie and I was in hospital for 3 days afterwards and got no sleep. Like, I literally had maybe 3 hours sleep the whole time we were there. By the time we got back, we got sent home from hospital at, like, 9 at night. And by the time we got home... I was so tired, I actually couldn't tell what was real. And I genuinely, I remember Baker was changing Sylvie and I was trying to ask him questions. Like, we were trying to have a conversation and he was just ignoring me. And I got really fucking annoyed. Like, I was irate. Mm. Like, I was so annoyed. Why are you ignoring me? Like, and it's because I had actually fallen asleep and not realised. And I wasn't saying any words.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so then I woke up without realising I'd woken up. And I was like, Baker, like, why? I'm trying to talk to you. And he was like, no, you've just been lying there sort of going.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like,
what the fuck?
Is this real right now? Like, I just could not. I was delirious. I could not tell what was real. So I can understand that. Like, why would my mother be there with a? Why would my mother put a hat pin in my baby?
Yeah.
But. You've got this tiny baby, right? And my brain just kept being like, I'm going to walk through that door and hit her head and it's going to cave in. I'm going to, you know, like, accidentally put my finger through her soft spot in her head. Like, and all of this, like, my brain is just constantly like, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Because I was so frightened of, like, you know, because you don't know this, like, yeah. anything now. And so there was all kinds of thoughts, like, what if the ceiling just fell in right now and just squashed her flat?
Yeah.
Like, and that thought of something piercing her head, like, particularly the soft spot, that's really delicate. And it took ages before I'd even brush her hair because I was so scared of, like, accidentally, what if I push too hard?
Yeah.
And just, like, smash her brain in. And, but that, it's really difficult to do. Like, you yeah. know, that's yeah, not yeah, going to yeah. happen. But I think everything in over is goes into overdrive because you're like, I have to keep this thing that I love so much beyond all reason, I have to keep her alive.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying. So the thought of somebody else doing that
yeah
has also occurred. What if somebody comes in and just steals my baby, like, saw and
yeah.
decides to, like, push something into her head or whatever. Ooh. Like, and I've had that visual, and it's, this is a very long story for a very short point, I'm so sorry, but that, it's just, it's fucking horrific. That level, I think there's violence and then to do something like that to it, particularly a newborn baby that is one of the most defenseless creatures in the whole entire world. I don't even think that violent, it's not even, it's so incomprehensible to me that that is even possible for somebody to just do that.
Yeah, not even like, but what, an eyelid.
What is, it's not even sick, it's not even deranged, it's beyond words.
Yeah.
How awful that is.
I think the one thing that I don't really get from this story, which I didn't seem to find when I was researching, but, like, how do they not notice a piercing hole? Like, how
hat
do they
pins,
not
hat pins are very thin, aren't they?
Yeah, I just like, don't get how they could not have picked up on that, but maybe, she got away with it. Like,
maybe
they,
a newborn wouldn't, maybe it wouldn't really bleed.
I don't know. The grief took a toll on Melvina, and her and her husband drifted apart. It caused some issues. And so Melvina started seeing a soldier. Nanny did not approve of this, which would result in them fighting quite a bit, her and Melvina. But whilst Melvina was away visiting her father, her son, Robert, her son, Robert, died mysteriously Nanny's care in 1945. The death was diagnosed as asphyxia, which is a condition arising when the body is deprived of oxygen, causing unconsciousness of death or suffocation. And then 2 months later, Nanny collected a $500 life insurance check she had taken out on Robert, which is very suspicious.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No. No.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
I know.
Who even takes life insurance out on a child?
I know.
I mean, maybe back then, actually, child mortality, infant mortality or something, but...
Right. I know. So, cashed in on this check. So, it's 1945, and what happened in 1945?
The war ended.
Exactly, right? So Nanny's husband, Robert Franklin Harrelson, was out celebrating the end of the war. And he got shit-faced, basically. I mean, what a thing to celebrate, the end of the war. You're going to go out with a bang, aren't you?
I reckon that's a hell of a party.
I know. That was you last Friday. So he went home and he demanded sex, which she refused. And in his drunken state, bear in mind, he has a past in drunken violence, he raped her.
No.
Yeah. So the next morning, she decided to put rat poison in his corn whiskey jar, and later that evening, he was dead.
Yeah.
So she told the authorities he died from his alcoholism, which back then they were just like, okay, cool, right,
technically
sure.
Technically not a lie.
It's not
he
a lie.
He died because he drank the whiskey.
Yeah, but they weren't going to look into it, and she was so sweet and nice that they were just like, yay. So another ad goes into the Lonely Hearts column. There she meets Arlie Lanning. So whilst travelling through Lexington, North Carolina, and after 3 days, she married him.
Wow.
I know. Crazy. Yeah. So he was also an alcoholic and a womaniser.
Right. I'm starting to think that the Lonely Hearts column is not the place to meet a good person.
No.
Like, because Nanny's not a good person and she keeps marrying not good people.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why they've got lonely hearts, because they can't keep them down.
Right.
And but to be fair, she keeps murdering her husband, so.
And you just leave it out of the ad.
Yeah. Killed 3 of my husbands. Yeah. Who's next?
4 times widow.
Yeah.
Too many letters.
Don't touch the prunes.
It's a very expensive ad.
Yeah. This time she would be the one that would leave for weeks on end. So she's pretty fed up of him being a dick, so she would just leave. But she'd come back and perfectly play the role of the doting housewife. I would just like to point out that Nanny had a very sweet and innocent demeanour. And so, like, she would just come across as the most loveliest, cute, like, kind of lady.
Yeah.
So she would go away and come back and, you know, the people, the townsfolk would just see her being a loving, caring wife. I never, ever suspected her of anything, like, naughty or dodgy, but he died of apparent heart failure. And at the funeral, the community were very, very supportive of her because she was just such a lovely, pleasant woman. So afterwards, upon finding out the family home was, in fact, had been left to her husband's sister and not Nanny. It mysteriously burnt down.
Gosh, she's... What an unlucky woman.
I know. And who checked in on the insurance claim?
Fucking hell, really?
Yeah.
Was insurance fraud just really easy to get away with?
Yeah, and clearly burning down houses.
Is this why insurance fraud is such a thing now? Because
right.
It all started with just one person, you know, sets a fire to take the money.
Yeah.
And now... You know, it's really difficult to get insurance claims.
How does that not look suspicious, though? Like, oh, he didn't leave it to me in his will. Oh, it's burning down.
No, it's so flammable.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
Nanny, did you set the house on fire?
No. Did you?
No. So she left North Carolina shortly after, and the mother-in-law also died shortly after. People are just popping down like flies, jeez, man.
Yeah, wow.
So she then joined the Lonely Hearts Club once again.
Oh my God.
And she met and married Richard L. Morton of Jamestown, North Carolina. He was also a womanizer.
Of course he was. Right, I'm dead against Lonely Hearts now.
I know.
With all my romantic tropes.
I did like Soup Lady, though, so I bet she is quite nice. She's only 17, so she can't have a lot of baggage.
I hope that she found a good person.
Yeah, you know, with any
number of legs.
Yeah.
Any number of legs.
But this is where it, like, gets a bit out of hand. So before her new husband's impending doom, she killed her own mother while she was caring for her. She had a hip operation, so she poisoned her in January of 1953. But then her husband Morton died 3 months later on May 19th, 1953. Also poison.
And was it confirmed that they were poisoned?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, yeah, later it was. Oh, okay. But, like, at this point, no one batted an eyelid. They're just dying.
Died.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Nanny collected 5 life insurance policies on Morton,
bloody
worth $1,400, approximately $15,946 today. One thing that kind of tickled me a bit was, imagine working in life insurance and Nanny's calling up again. Yeah. That's Nanny again.
I'm sure that name rings a bell.
Yeah.
They're probably like, oh, hi, Nanny. How was your holiday? Oh, yeah, good. Who's gone this time?
Yeah.
Who's popped off this time?
Don't need to give us your bank deets. I've learned it off by heart.
I'll just ping it over. You're still in the same place?
Yeah.
All right. Speak to you next year. Bye.
Yeah, bye. So 2 of her sisters died the same year in different towns. So each collapsed whilst Nanny was visiting. Each of the same mysterious symptoms of stomach cramps and convulsions. So it's time for the epilogue now.
Is nobody, like, how does anybody tie this all together? Like, something...
It's coming.
Is it? Okay, great. Because
bear in mind, she's, like, the sweetest. If you watch...
Yeah, people keep dying.
I know, but, like, if you watch interviews of Nanny, like, they're on the, like, proper old...
Are they?
Yeah, like, she's, like, she's so fucking sweet, man. You would just not... Never have guessed it.
This reminds me of Dorothea Puente.
Yeah, Dorothea.
Yeah. But everybody was like, oh, you know, nice lady.
She's like so sweet. Well, that's why, well, I'll get to it.
I guess this is like the vampire complex, isn't it? You know, like she's a perfect, she's disguised. She's
by her own
sweet demeanour.
Yeah. So this is the beginning of the end. So Nanny married Samuel Doss of Tulsa, Oklahoma. In June 1953. A lot's happening in 1953. People are dropping dead and she's getting married again. So they also met on an Only Hearts Club column. But Samuel disapproved of the romance novels and stories that his wife adored. Imagine Baker burning all the erotic novels. So Samuel Doss repeatedly became ill with stomach ailments. And in the October... he ended up in the hospital with severe stomachache. And the doctors couldn't work out what was wrong with him. When Sam recovered and went home, Nanny fixed him a bowl of stewed prunes and a cup of coffee.
Like, that's going to make it, regardless...
It's going to give you the shits, man.
Nanny, even if you're not trying to kill him, right? He's just had a load of stomach issues. What are you trying to get him to... What are you trying to do? Hey, I'll make a normal person shit through the eye of a needle.
Right.
Isn't it?
So Sam was dead the next day.
Of course.
He and Nanny had been married 4 months. This sudden death alerted his doctor, who ordered an autopsy. So the autopsy revealed a huge amount of arsenic in his system. Like I said previously, it was about enough to kill 10 people.
Oh, my God.
So Nanny was promptly arrested.
She wasn't even trying to hide it that time, was she?
No. She was like, autopsies were a little bit more simple back in those days. So apparently... They'd walk around it, they'd come out in the front yard and talk about it, and they'd say, oh yeah, old Harry killed himself, it's a suicide. Then the justice of the peace would just sign it off. So that was a quote by Ray Blakeney, a former medical examiner. They just went, oh, you just got bashed on that. Okay, cool. They just didn't really look into things that much, which is probably why she got away with it for so long.
Yeah,
but they did order an autopsy because his doctor was a little bit like, what the fuck, he's just died.
I mean, at least finally somebody has...
Yeah.
This is a bit odd.
So... In Oklahoma, authorities who wanted to perform an autopsy needed the permission of the family or a court order if there was a suspected foul play. But Nanny, for some reason, was just like, yeah, go for it.
Did she not understand what they were doing?
I don't know, but apparently...
That's something you'd be like, no.
Well, this is... She said, of course there should be. It might kill someone else. Like, she's still down the route of this is a stomach bug. So they want to, like, make sure, you know, when the results of Doss's autopsy came back and they found all this arsenic, she denied at first killing her husband. But then the police began digging into her past and they found a string of deaths connected to her. Wow. So she got caught up when she lied about ex-husband Ridget Morton claiming she didn't even know him. And then later she said... Well, I guess I wasn't telling the truth. Nanny confessed with a coy giggle. I was married to him. So she was just like, no, I don't know this guy. And then later on, she was like, no, I lied. I was married to him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So this is why she's called the giggling granny, because in interviews with the police, she just giggled about everything. She just laughed about all these things. She was just so kind of sweet and like played this sort of innocent. She would just laugh about like it, because, you know, you think, what is the motive here? What is she just like a really angry person with a taste for blood and has like a really significant reason for wanting to kill all these people? I just think there's nothing behind those eyes. Like there's no wrong here.
It feels like she just gets tired of people and then it's like, okay, I'm tired of you now, or you're making me tired, bye.
Yeah, but there's no remorse, there's no feeling there. But and when people ask her about it, she just kind of giggles about it.
Poison is quite a detached way of, like, killing people as well. Like, you don't have to, there's no, like, physical violence. You don't have to act, like, in a way, like, you don't have to actively...
You just pop it in there and wait for it to do its thing, and then they're dead.
So I think it's really easy for you to detach yourself from, like, oh, well, I didn't kill him, the rat poison.
Yeah. And it's also, it's not always guaranteed, because you don't know if you're going to give them the right... They might just get really unwell. It's always a gamble.
Maybe she liked that. Like,
yeah. But, yeah, so she was called the giggling granny because she just kind of found the interviews quite funny, fun. So over the next couple of days, she spilled the beans on all of her murders. And she was adamant, however, that she only poisoned people who deserved it. And none of the deaths of her relatives were due to poisoning. He sure did love those stewed prunes, she said about one husband.
Oh, my God.
Nanny admitted feeding Doss the prunes around the time of his death, but some accounts have her confessing that the final dose of poison was administered in a cup of coffee. So was it the prunes or the coffee? Who knows? So she laughed and giggled whilst recounting the events. I'm not sure, but it was...
Oh, the children.
I know. Think of the children! On May 18th, 1955, Doss pleaded guilty to Sam's murder and was sentenced to life in prison. And then in 1965, Nanny died of leukemia at the age of 59. So that was... Nanny Doss, grand giggling granny.
She died of leukemia. Wow.
Bone cancer, innit?
Painful.
That's that. Yes, she is.
That is mad. And it's just, there is no proper why. She just did it. The children, it's awful. That's a really bad one. That's bad. That's a bad one. Bad granny.
So I got all these people are inconveniencing me now. I'm just going to get rid of them. But this is what I mean. Like, there's so much written on her that is all very similar. And everybody that's reporting her, it's all very similar. So there's not really that much to say about motive. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
Because it's all open speculation if she's done so many interviews and stuff. Like, it does, it just really does feel like she grew tired of people.
Yeah.
And, like, just sort of, they became disposable unless they could benefit her. you know, just got life insurance policies.
I think also maybe she just got used to how easy it was to find another husband. So it was like, oh, yeah, this one's not really, this one can fuck off. I'm going to find another one. Right in the lonely hearts, come find someone else.
That sort of ever, it's almost like the American dream of romance, isn't
yeah.
it? Like, there will be my, you know, life-changing love.
Perhaps she never, she found it difficult to form connections with people because they were so disposable to her. Like, she didn't really care about them.
Yeah.
Like, with everybody that's in her life, it didn't seem like she gave a shit about them at all.
I wonder if, like, the first time she got married, you know, there's this ideal of, I'm getting married, you know, I'm going to live happily ever after, everything's yeah, going to be yeah. lovely.
And then, it didn't work out like that.
Yeah, it didn't work out like that.
Four kids, man, back to back.
That's so intense. That's so intense. And I could see how, like, postnatal psychosis could set in.
Yeah.
She's just had a baby. Killing two of her children seemed like a good idea.
Yeah.
At the time. That absolutely doesn't make it okay. But that's the only one that I can see how maybe she wasn't fully in control of her actions.
Mm.
Like, even... I guess some people don't love their children. I don't. Some people don't, do they?
No.
Some people can't.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it. I can't imagine. That then the hat pin and the baby is really going to stay with me for a while. That makes me like, it brings a like, I feel like it brings vomit up to my throat.
Yeah. Not nice. Take it out of your mind. Take it out of your mind.
It's that and the atmosphere.
Oh, this has been a bad sesh for you.
It's bad sesh for me.
Let's do some distracting.
We're in Nightmare Factory tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a... I don't know what I can
eat. Eat some cheese. No, don't eat cheese. That'll make it worse.
Just go to sleep again.
Yeah. Okay.
Great.
Fabulous.
And on that note...
So I hope that wasn't too bad, everybody, and you're still here. Hello, thank you for being patient with us.
If you got this far, well done.
Yeah. So next time on Devils in the Dark with me, Helen Anderson.
And me, Danny Howard, we're going to be looking at the murders of John List, and we're going to remember to plug the laptop in.
Yes, we will. So subscribe or follow wherever you listen to your podcast to make sure you never miss an episode of Devils in the Dark. And don't forget, you can find us on Instagram at Devils in the Dark.
In the meantime, if you've been affected by any of the themes in this episode, please do check out the description for lots of helpful resources.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for sticking with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it. That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NoCD comes in. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NoCD.com.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Menards has what you need to beat the heat. From bottled water to air conditioners and fans, we have everything in stock to keep you from overheating. Patio umbrellas are simple but effective ways to cool down while outside. We also carry a wide assortment of sprinklers, pools, popsicles, and more to help keep the kids cool. Stock up and stay cool with help from Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.